I'm Faith Middleton, and this show is about the richness of life. We're going to talk about ideas, inventions, what you'd like to see invented. Thanks for listening in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. One of my favorite shows because we get, as a group, to go online, read magazines, check out all kinds of sources to see what's being invented out there, what's new. This time we also looked into the past decades, to see when certain things were invented. It was some of these were really surprising to us, so you're going to hear some of that too. What were the best inventions last year? A real-life hoverboard is one of them. What's next? What's coming? What ideas you've read or talked about that have captured your imagination? What would you like to see invented? Call us at 203-776-WNPR, 203-776-9677. I'm here with Rich Hanley of Quinnipiac University and WNPR's Laurie Mack. Okay, Rich, what do you have?
You know, one of the interesting developments in the last month or so has been the sense that robots are taking over in everything we do. I mean, it's really populating the mass media now. The robots are here, and they certainly are. They're doing tasks that humans used to do.
Bot culture.
And they're doing more and more sophisticated tasks. So we're not outsourcing as a country, the United States, to India, Bangladesh, or to other countries in Asia. We are now outsourcing a lot of our work to robots.
Is there another time when we were at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution? Some people say this robot thing is just an extension. Was there a time back then when we were afraid that machines, you know, did we say to each other the cotton gin might take over society, you know, and become so human that what is it about these robotic devices that don't look like people, by the way, do all these things?
The other devices, the loom and whatnot, had to be operated by a human. And, of course, you could use mass production techniques, to reduce labor force through these mechanical artifacts. The distinction now is the intelligence embedded in the robotic devices, meaning the robotic device can make a decision. And that is really the dividing line. These robots, and we think of the Lost in Space robot or the robots of science fi. You know, these are literally machines of varying shapes and sizes that have an embedded intelligence in them that allows decision making to happen through their algorithms without human intervention. And that means that stuff like interpreting X-rays, which used to take a very, very skilled practitioner, medical doctor, to do it, can now be accomplished, you know, through sophisticated algorithms and looking at digitized versions of those X-rays. So instead of doing one every 20 minutes or so, you know, they can do one every 5 seconds. So X-rays can be interpreted much more rapidly. And of course, they're not perfect.
That's
so
right.
So there has to be some human supervision. But the fact is that this generation of robotic intervention is capable of making decisions that used to be reserved to the human imagination.
I want to see, it seems like the paranoia factor, this is the perfect time for, I think a certain percentage of every population, certain percentage of people are clinically paranoid. And so they tend toward thinking with a paranoid sense. And so this, you know, a robot thing is just perfect.
Yeah, I mean, there's a sense that it's malevolent intent on the robots, because that's based on our cultural interpretation of robots through science fiction works. But in fact, they're pretty mundane,
and
pretty
mysteries.
Generic.
Well, there have been some problems with them. Have been some serious problems with them, but there have also been, I think there was a robot, I forget what, it may be California, that was passing out leaflets, went into a store and actually stole something, walked out without paying for it. And the cops had to arrest a real robot.
Is that an urban legend?
No, it's a true story, I swear.
Okay. I bet you that's a robot hero now in the robot community.
It just shows up. That was bad judgment. Something went wrong with the algorithms.
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's what we're afraid of.
Yeah, that was probably a malevolent coder.
I apologize to all the paranoid people. Okay, Laurie Mack, talk to us about the consumer alert and the television invention.
Right. Well, so this has to do with a smart TV. And smart TVs have been out for a while anyway. Smart TVs, they have a built-in internet connection. So you can stream things like Netflix and Hulu and that kind of stuff. So Samsung has come out with this new smart TV where you can actually talk to it instead of using your remote. So if you're somebody like me who constantly is looking around for the remote, you can say things like TV on, TV off, channel 8, channel 2. So in order to do this, they have voice recognition. Coming with the TV are the terms of service that most of us don't ever read. But in those terms of service, they tell you that you're actually being listened to. So watch what you say, because what you're saying is being sent to a third party for voice recognition. So here, that's our warning. And CNET wrote a whole article about how to disable that. But the warning, according to them, is in the terms of service says, be aware that if your spoken words include personal or other sensitive information, that information will be among the data captured and transmitted to a third party through the use of your voice recognition.
This is a whole new field for the police departments, right?
FBI. And mainly marketers. A stray remark can lead to a new advertising message delivered to your set-top box and to your screen. I think
this is a good one, Lori, because I don't think people read that.
No. Who reads terms of service?
Nobody does. I don't read them.
Right. Well, I mean, you don't know what you are missing.
I kind of figure my default mode is everything I do with a piece of technology will be used for surveillance.
That's right.
Will be stored and it will be used to sell me stuff.
Oh, and possibly against you later.
That's everything is ever going to be used against me. You know, this show will be used against me in some way, shape, or form. That's also
when you
a
run
default.
For office.
Oh my God! No, that'll never happen.
All right, let's take a call.
It would be entertaining. We'd have a lot of fun with it.
Wouldn't it? Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. Glad you called. Sure.
This is like so elementary. This is like really surprised nobody has discovered this or even invented it or thought of it. At least I don't think so. A heated steering wheel cover. I mean, not a cover, just the steering wheel in the car that's heated. So you don't have to be, you know, warming your hand up on your coffee and putting your other hand on the heater, so you can keep your hands warm in the wintertime.
Lynn, I hope somebody has invented that, because if they haven't, you need to go and start a Kickstarter campaign immediately to get that off the ground, because that would be fantastic.
It would be. No, I haven't really seen any of them anywhere, and if they're out there, let me know.
Okay. We're going to look that up right now, as a matter of fact. Yeah, thank you.
The robots who are driving our cars need to keep their hands warm. So.
Okay, so here is an idea. I was at an event last night in New York City. Gina Bereke and I traveled back on the train this morning, and I was telling her about this show, and I said, you know, here's my discovery. This is an idea. Where I went to, they thought I had was doing some exercise, and they thought I had torn a muscle in my thigh, and it would be a labral tear, and it would be a big deal if that happened. So I'm at the physical therapist. He's a genius, this Rick Killeen, and he's moving he said, you don't do anything. I am going to move you. So he's moving me in all these different directions, my legs, my arms. He's doing it for me. I was doing nothing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, wow, if you were rich, I said to him, I said, if someone were rich, they could hire a person like you who knows everything about the body, is a genius of the body. And I said, and you wouldn't have to exercise. Someone would exercise you for you. You know, they would just move all your parts and it would be done. It would be no effort on your part. You would just lie there and get moved around. And Gina, who is so funny, Gina Bereke's on the show all the time, she said, yep, I think we now need to add to this invention an Ambien, and we'll call it the Ambien exercise protocol. She said, so you take an Ambien, you go to sleep for the night, the exercise person comes in, works you out entirely, you're out cold, you have no idea, and then you wake up in the morning, you've done your exercise, you've had a good night's sleep, there you go.
Well, Ambient like exercise. Another job for the robots.
It's a big idea.
to roll in your house, start moving your stuff. You're done exercising.
Okay. Yeah. So now I have a real one. So Why aren't there, or do you think there are going to be restaurant delivery drones?
For sure.
I would hate to see those men and women who are, you know, getting any money they can on the table doing that delivery. I hate to see them replaced. I mean, this happens to me all the time where I think, oh, please don't take the human out of it. On the other hand, I can't imagine that they're – I don't know how they will do it because this, can you imagine the skies of New York with drones? I mean, you can deliver a single French fry in New York. You can get that delivered. So can you imagine the skies, you know, would come to your window, I thought. You wouldn't even have to – it would be fast. The little drone would come right to your – you open your window and you take the bag of whatever it is. Can you imagine how fast that would be? Your food would be hot.
Well, I think there's just too much ground clutter in the urban areas where this sort of delivery system would be deployed.
I don't think it's going to happen, do you? No, Lori,
I think you'll see driverless cars
using
a combination of things to get food products to your house. But I don't see the drone as a realistic delivery system due to the physical difficulties of controlling that once it's in an urban environment.
But they have
with
to
the
invent,
wires, the radar reflections.
You have to
reflections
invent that too.
Yeah, sometimes things are just too complex. And technology is all about trade-offs. I mean, do we really want to deploy all the millions and millions of dollars in sophisticated technology so I can get French fries? You know, I don't know if that's really something that would be attractive or appealing enough to investors to do.
But for the restaurant, the number of orders that you could deliver, the speed with which you could deliver them would so increase their business.
I don't think it would. I don't know if restaurants necessarily want to be in the volume business in terms of using drones as their delivery system.
What about pizza place, though?
Well, pizza, you know, it's carrying a box of pizza and making sure that pizza remains stable through the delivery process is something best left to human hands.
Rich, catch. Hey, I just want to say to Lynn that I knew there were cars. I knew I'd heard of this. There are definitely cars with heated steering wheels.
Does it say what brand?
Well, I know, I'm pretty sure BMW and Lexus, but even the 2015 Kia has it too.
Really?
And if you don't want to spend the money on a new car, you can buy a heated steering wheel cover. She can go to Amazon.com or Hammock or Schlemmer even makes it.
Really?
Or just wear a pair of gloves.
There you go. Okay. Or just wear a pair of gloves.
For like $2.
That engine starter. You know, from your kitchen window, you just press the button, your car starts, and your car will be heated, including the steering wheel by the time you get
everything we're talking about seems to be directed toward ending human movement. Let's just crawl in our pods now and die. You know, we become the pod people. Just deliver me food by drone, warm my steering wheel, and have a robot drive me, and have a robot move my arms. Is that where we're going with this stuff?
And breathe for me also.
Breathe for me, my goodness. Let's go out and have some fun. It's sunny out. You know, enjoy nature. You know, sniff the pollen.
Oh, you Luddite.
I love pollen. Bring it on. You know?
All right. This is a fresh edition of On Ice, Ideas, Creativity, Edge. We have Rich Hanley from Quinnipiac University. And Lori Mack, we're going to take a short break now and then glad to hear from you if you'd like to see something invented at 203-776-WNPR. We're going to tell you about great business ideas according to Business News Daily online. Stay with us. Faith Middleton with Rich Hanley and Lori Mack on the show, and we are talking about inventions and ideas. Some over the top, some very practical, some here, some coming. Rich says my delivery drones for restaurants not going to happen. I still think it is. That somebody's going to sell air rights in certain neighborhoods and coordinate all this. I just know they are. Rich says it's a battery problem. I'm going to have a battery.
Yeah, because the battery charges are a lot.
I'm positive. I'm telling you. Okay, we'll
see. Overhead wires.
Okay. We're going to have a bet, side bet. Okay, here's something I wanted to tell you about. This is from Business News Daily Online. And they said, we've surveyed lots and lots of smart people in the small business world or in the corporate world. And these are things they think for right now, for people who want to start small businesses, these are important areas to investigate. So the first is create a kid-friendly app. They said these are going to be huge, that they're already big, but they're just, it's just exponentially, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The Future 100 is a trends report, and it says this is one of the trends to watch. Connectivity with kids is huge, and 3/4 of kids now have access to a mobile device. And so it's going to be a big business opportunity for anybody who wants to create products or design apps just for kids. So they said, get to it if you're trying to start something. Take a look. Think about what that would be. Research what's out there right now. And so I thought that was interesting. The kids are the new market.
Well, there's enough of them to make a living, but the kids don't have jobs. So it's basically you got to get to the parents through the kid.
Right.
The kid's like a delivery system to the parents. So if you can prove that it's useful to the kid and get the parents to pay for it, then you have a business. But the kids themselves don't have any money.
We need more "this will make your child a genius"
apps. This will make your child safer. You know, I mean, that's an old marketing ploy is to use the kid as the delivery system for your advertising message. You know, sugared cereals. The kid wants to, have to.
Yeah. So that there was talk in a major corporation, whose name I won't mention, about a credit card for children. And it did not come out. And I keep waiting to see if this digital corporation is going to do it.
I have so many things I want to say, but I just can't.
I know. I'm telling you. Okay.
Well, if the kids are used to a cashless world.
No limits. There's just no limits.
Yeah.
Okay. Here was one. They said another business idea for this year would be recycling pickups. Right now, many homeowners put out bins and people come and pick them up, or sometimes you yourself take them to the dump. And they said you could start a recycling business for e-waste, everything that's e-waste, old televisions, broken laptops, defunct cell phones. They don't know what, you have to drive those, and you be the person who goes and collects those. You start a business doing that.
Just to give you anecdotal evidence and support, driving today, I saw in front of two separate houses on the same street, two old television sets just there.
Not even with a sign that says free.
No, they're just there.
Waiting for somebody to
pick them up. Because they've got a new set and they put it out there and thinking someone's going to take it. But that is e-waste, and that does have different toxic products inside. And so that business model would work if they can figure out on the back end where to send it to other than China where the parts are harvested in a very unhealthy way. So e-waste is a big issue. So that's at least getting halfway to the problem and getting it out of the homes and keeping it out of the landfills. But the other part is, how do you properly dispose of it?
Okay, here's one more business idea. We'll come back to these later. And then, Lori, I want to get one from you. The vending machine business, because Americans are becoming more health conscious, and we see McDonald's, they're saying that their stock has dropped and customers are using McDonald's less, according to news reports, because when you survey people, they say, I don't like that there aren't more healthy options. You hear other business people saying to McDonald's, just stick with what you do and don't try to be healthy in a fake way. So you look at a chain like Chipotle, and Chipotle is marketing itself as positioning itself as the more healthy fast food. Well, now they're saying this idea here is to go to go into a healthy food vending machine business, and because there's a whole new industry of this stuff, and if you could somehow create a whole network of these things and place these not only in certain schools, health clubs, businesses, much more health-oriented. Start a whole line of products for vending machines.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly a market for that.
Okay,
probably
Lori
not
Mack,
much of a shelf life.
Ideas, creativity.
It's kind of like, almost an ironic idea. A vending machine for healthy food.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what vending machines are for. They're for cupcakes.
That last in there for 3 years.
You know it.
Yes, that's the trouble. See? Okay, what
so
do you have?
I have something called a parcel nest. This is because of technology, we aren't sending mail very much, as the Postal Service will tell you. So now these are mailboxes that are large enough for your packages that you have delivered from all of those places that you deliver from online. So this is what it'll fit. A larger than usual mailbox. It's got enough room to fit 2 boxes filled with a dozen bottles of wine. I
really?
Knew you'd like that.
I do.
Hey.
Okay.
So the picture of it reminded me when I first saw it of some sort of cat carrier.
So here we go. So here we go. So we've got the sky covered with lines from my drone deliveries. And
very
now we've got
large
cat
boxes.
Carrier boxes in front of everybody's house.
Yeah, I could see that. A little bit of an eyesore.
Yeah.
But see, if the smart thing would be to design them in a really cool way, right?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. And this was a Kickstarter campaign, too.
And I bet it went. It took off.
It's still running. It's still running.
I thought you were going to talk about delivery. Drone delivery for the mailbox.
We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Being a smart aleck, hasn't
quite gotten there yet.
So another business idea for 2050 from this business online site said smartphone repair. Nobody, it's just indispensable for business and personal use. And it's so hard. It can cost you as much to fix the phone, your smartphone, as it can. They said start a side business. If you're someone who's inclined this way, start a side business and start fixing these things at below cost of what these phone stores are doing it for, and you will have a booming business.
That's Chris Prosperi.
That is Chris Prosperi. I thought the same thing.
He loves this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He can take apart a computer and put it back together again. And completely fix it. He can do a television. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
He does it for fun.
Yes, right.
That's Chris, yeah.
That's Chris.
Yeah.
he's a trained engineer. You know,
yeah, I know
it's
he is, yeah.
Funny.
That's how engineers think. They want to solve problems.
Apart.
They
right.
want to say, okay, what? Why is this not ticking? And they take it apart, they analyze it and figure it out and fix it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Rich, tell me about what one of your friends went to the big tech conference.
Well, yeah, there's just stuff at, you know, the like the National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, which is like this enormous convention of people selling all sorts of electronic stuff to get us to sit in our couches and watch more television. And it does seem, and that's also how to acquire video and whatnot, and they're there does seem to be a certain movement to get us to once again replace our televisions, you know, from HD to 4K to 8K. In other words, it seems like the electronic industry is trying to turn the television into a smartphone, something we upgrade every 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And because each year, as Lori mentioned about the smart television with the voice command, yeah, these become more sophisticated. And actually, people are watching more TV than ever.
If my TV gets any clearer, I mean,
yeah.
It is so clear that the actors look like fake people. I mean, it's so real that I think, oh my, this is really hurting the acting profession. Because you can see that every single thing and how people are moving and what, you know, they really look like robot people.
Yeah, and the makeup artists, you know, have an arms race to make sure that they're
What more clarity could we?
Well, it's not only the clarity, but different ways to stream content on it. You know, through like the app, Periscope app, where you can just do capture live video from your smartphone, and then have it streamed or Chromecast, if you will, or through Apple TV onto your big set. So you could have somebody with a smartphone watching a Little League baseball game, for example, and a relative anywhere can then display that on their big television
live. So think what they'll be able to do at games, like real actual
games. Real actual games now with the different camera locations and audio technology.
Wow.
The game experience is becoming increasingly more and more realistic because of the way the cameras are now configured and can capture so many pixels, and the way the sound is designed where you can actually hear things that you ought not to hear. And so it really, really becomes the television set, despite claims that it's soon to be dead, remains the central core of our entertainment experience. More people are watching more TV than ever before. Even if it is, you know, a subscription video on demand service, you know, Netflix type a deal, people still want television. And there's a lot of investment going into television, the television experience. And so even despite the proliferation of online video and smartphone video and so on and so forth, the hearth of the home, the core experience remains
right
that, that television
TV.
Set, sitting there watching something, you know. And that to me is the most remarkable technological feat of all, that through all these technologies that have emerged over the years, television and AM and FM radio remain very, very much part of our everyday existence.
It's too bad there can't be a television fireplace.
Oh, I'm sure you can do one. You could do one.
Do one during the
Yule log. Christmas.
I mean a real television fireplace. A fireplace that is also a television. You know, up comes the screen, and then when you want a fire, down goes the screen. Wouldn't that be interesting? It would be really pretty cool.
Well,
I was thinking about the Yule log.
Well, you can kind of
I was
do
thinking
that.
About channels.
Yeah.
You know, you can.
The fire channel.
Yeah. Well, around Christmas.
Yeah. You want what kind of fire do you want?
How
you
many
want this
channels
little low
there
thing?
Be?
You know, you want this roaring, you know, like 19th century fire.
And even if you want background music or no background music.
You know, you could probably configure that on your television now.
Yeah, well, I know around the holidays you can do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No, I mean a real fireplace.
You mean like logs?
I want a real fire. And
a
television.
Real fire
and a television.
A real fire in the. I want a fireplace television.
Boy, that would be a.
This is like going to be at my World's Fair.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so you'd have the fire. Okay, the TV. Okay, yeah, I get it.
Thank you for humoring me. Bill, welcome to the show.
I just tuned in, and I just heard Rich mention about the experience of baseball games and sporting events and stuff. And my most recent experience at a baseball game was a few years ago at the Chicago White Sox Stadium. And I know it's spread around to the other stadiums, but my experience was that they had a band of ads going around the middle between the upper tier and the lower tier, constantly showing advertisements and announcements during the game. To the point where I thought to myself, could we have a little peace and quiet like the old-fashioned baseball games where there wasn't a constant drone of music and advertisements? What do you think, Rick?
Wow. Yeah, I'm with you, Bill. You used to go to, again, oh, here's the old guy talking. You used to go to a game and then someone would play an organ. Then someone would pitch a ball. Then someone would hit the ball. Then this person would play the organ again.
And you would hear hot dogs.
And you'd eat hot dogs, and you'd talk to people in the stands. Now it's like the sonic assault. They play. It's a fragmentary experience too, because they're not playing whole songs. They're playing a few chords or a chorus of a song whenever a new batter comes up.
I didn't know.
And
this.
Then every space is filled, you know, in terms of the sonic presentation with some sort of music, ad, or a call to action. And the visual space is saturated with various advertisements and distractions. So and going to a game, green grass, summer,
so
is now an immersive advertising, immersive experience where the game has become secondary to the messages they're trying to sell you. So I'm with Bill on that.
This is – Bill, I feel like, Bill, this is such a great thing that you brought up, because that convinces me that just like in New York, where the richest developer of all time sold air rights, you know, created, invented air rights, where you buy the space over a building, he you know, or the space to go up with the building, the air rights were for sale. And so he invents this new category. That's like taking the air rights in ball fields.
Well, the teams are trying to make money. And so they found quite some time ago
they're selling
that they
air
can
rights.
Sell the audio space, They can sell the physical space, mm-hmm. and they can sell the virtual space and take little pieces of money off all of these. And so the fan is now sitting in this immersive environment, which really is about advertising, not about sports. The players yeah. are – the players are, as Shakespeare would say, merely players. They're just there. Mm-hmm. But the real show is the advertising messages that you're consuming when you're watching a game. And if you look at the technology, a great technology would be the capacity to go to an event, and have none of that stuff appear. Maybe you have to pay extra for your ticket, but to actually enjoy the performance in some kind of solitude or in some kind of soft conversation with others, I think is a technology.
That's public radio.
That would be
that you just described.
A WNPR, 90.5
FM. Television. If you just described that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another business idea, and then Lori, I want to get one. Become a software trainer. They said if you're proficient in one of these in a highly specialized software, say. You can be hired by people as a personal consultant to tell them how to work Final Cut Pro, let's say, for video apps for video applications or for video projects. If you know certain of those, you can be hired. I would hire someone to teach me, you know, five different things I can think of. They said start that business and advertise it, and people will come to you.
No, I don't think that'll work. You know why?
Why not?
Because there are so many sites out there that are free. And I don't want to name a company. There is one company in particular that has a whole service of teaching software online. So and it's very inexpensive.
Yeah.
It's like the way the generation coming up, for example.
But I can't ask that questions. I can't ask that service questions, you know, in the way that I need to, because I learn.
Yeah.
But my device is by doing, not someone explaining. I need to have a human.
You'd be surprised at how much software training happens without the human. And the generation that's already installed in the workforce right now, over the last 10 years, will train itself because that's mm-hmm. how they learned software to begin with. They train themselves. I think software training had a very, very critical role in the 90s in the first part of this century when software was really, really amped up in many, many companies. And there was a generational dynamic there where you had folks not used to the software who needed that hands-on training. The workforce now has many, many millions of people who are self-taught in these applications. And the applications are so easy to use anyway. Corporations may not want to spend time on training. They'll just say, "Well, go to this online area and learn how," or we will bring a trainer in, but you have like an hour or two with the software package, unless it's very specialized. And this idea works if it's highly specialized, like medical and coding software, very highly specialized stuff that's above and beyond. Video production software,
or
very highly specialized stuff.
But Rich, also, if you're the type of learner I am, for people like me, probably about four, if you're the type of learner where you learn by doing, not by being spoken to about the thing.
The whole point of the software is that you own the software and the online tutorial walks you through how to use it. Like when I need to do a new trick in... say Premiere Pro in video editing or something, I'll just search for it online and I'll have the software open and I'll go step by step through the instructions on the online video. Oh, now I know how to do that, and that's and over time you accumulate the specialized knowledge.
I'll
simply
check
by
those
using
out.
Online just... But you have to have the software on your machine.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and then more ideas and inventions. We want yours too at 203-776 WNPR. What would you like to see invented, or what have you invented? Stay with us. I'm Faith Middleton, and this is a fresh edition of On Ice, Ideas, Creativity, Edge, new inventions, big ideas. And to tell you, I'm going to focus on the idea of this. I'm going to tell you about our martini competition, but I want to say congratulations to these companies that thought of this. I really thought this was, I mean, of course it is helpful to WNPR and CPBN, very, very helpful, but I was just amazed that they thought of this. They said, we've gotten orders from various companies saying we're going to thank our clients, our important clients, and get tickets to the martini event and give them to our clients. And then a couple of others said, we're going to do this for our employees as a corporate thanks to employees to go to our martini competition. I thought it was so beyond it being very helpful. I just thought it was so smart.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
I would never have thought to suggest it.
I hope Quinnipiac University is listening and gets on board the Martini Ticket Express.
All right, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this express.
Well, that's students, faculty.
It is the hottest scene in Connecticut, I like to say. It is our Food Schmooze Martini Competition, statewide bartenders. These folks are so innovative. They shake up these martinis of various kinds, martinis in quotes, because these are innovative martinis. And you vote for the Food Schmooze Martini Champion after sampling, and there's a designated driver discount. Great top chefs providing tons of food, and we have a DJ who's just sizzling hot, really rocks this ballroom. This sells out. It is Thursday, June 25th at 6 p.m., Simsbury's Riverview. Thanks to Power Station Events, tickets are $60 to benefit WNPR and our programs, and you can order now or when you get to your destination at ctmartini.org. You'll see a tickets button, ctmartini.org. And we have, by the way, officially applied. We filled out an application to the Guinness Book of World Records. I'm not joking about this. We did. To see if there was a possibility of qualifying as the largest martini competition. We have not heard back yet, but we filled out the application. We're very proud of ourselves.
Well, that's,
so there's an idea. There's
fantastic.
Another idea.
That's the event of the summer.
It is.
It really is.
It is so fun. Rich, yeah. You must go. You have to go to this.
Yes, all of us will be there.
It is the most fun. Yes, Quinnipiac University.
I'm there.
All right, here we go. Thank you to Jonathan McNichol for producing today's show. And okay, Lori, what do you have? What's up? Idea and invention.
Well, so, and you know about this too, Rich. We were talking about it before. Tesla has now come out with a solar generated power battery for later use at home. So it's called the Tesla Powerwall. It's a battery system. It lets you collect the unused power generated from daylight, and then you can take that into your house and use it. Which is kind of interesting.
So you're, yeah. That is interesting. You take the panel in and use it?
There are these modules, and they're designed to mount on the wall, and then they're integrated into anybody's existing solar-powered home, I guess.
Yeah, when you hear that, it's such an obvious thing to do. I don't know why everybody skipped over that. That's a really wonderful thing.
Well, it took the Elon Musk's capacity to think.
Yeah,
you could put the batteries that are used in electric cars and say, why don't we adapt them for household use instead of having a generator, say, which requires fuel, gasoline or diesel or whatever. You can have a backup system made out of batteries that can keep, essential appliances operating during power outages.
Good idea.
Yeah. And so it's environmentally sound, quiet, and it's taking electricity that you're generating anyway.
I wonder if this will affect heating systems.
So it comes in two capabilities, too, by the way. And I think the cheapest one is $3,000. But if you have a Tesla, then that's probably not a problem for you anyway, right?
That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we've got Time Magazine last year posted the 25 best inventions of the year. They did this at the end of the year. So this is just 6 months ago.
Did they rank them?
I don't know if they're in order, but here are some of the important ones. The real-life hoverboard. Remember the movie Back to the Future where the kid was on the skateboard and it hovered over the sidewalk, and everybody in the world wanted one the way I want a jetpack. So apparently they've done it. They have really made this thing. It has some limitations, and it started out with a It's made by the Hendo company, Hendo Hoverboard. It sells for around $10,000. It started with a Kickstarter campaign, and where you go online and donate to people's ideas that you like, and you fund them, and these things happen. And so this one really has pretty much come to pass. The battery only runs at this point for 15 minutes. But they say that they're ramping up with the contributions to make this last longer, go further, not have to be on a certain kind of surface, but they're on the way with the hoverboard.
For 30 minutes.
For a long period of time. Okay.
Yeah, down the road, yeah.
This is Mangalyaan, and apparently the Indian Space Research Organization, on September 24th, that's Hindi for, I'm probably slaughtering the pronunciation, but it's Hindi for Mars craft. Mangalyaan went into orbit around the red planet. Russia couldn't do it on the first try. The U.S. couldn't do it on the first try, and they did. No other Asian nation hasn't achieved this either, and it cost them $74 million to do this, which people seem to think is a bargain. And it was in fact, they said that is less than was spent to make the film Gravity.
That's right. In fact, they constructed that spacecraft with what amounts to spare parts or ordinary off-the-shelf components, so that kept the cost down. And to put a spacecraft in orbit around another planet less than the cost of a Hollywood feature, it's quite remarkable.
And they took measurements up there. So now there is Lockheed Martin says it is very close to nuclear fusion. So here it is. Here is that other thing, Rich, that is always on the distant horizon.
Yeah, it's always just tomorrow.
Well, they're saying, Lockheed Martin is saying, they said in October that they had a technological breakthrough and that it is going to make, because of it, compact fusion reactors small enough to fit on the back of a truck within the next 10 years.
I gotta see that. I gotta see that thing working. It's because this has been the target of major research universities, some of the brightest minds, you know, in nuclear physics and engineering applied to this. I don't know if a defense contractor has the capacity to do this sort of work and deliver it without some massive government contract funding it.
What is the game plan? What do you think the game plan is when a company, not necessarily this one, but a company like this one, announces something major like this in advance, 10 years? What are they trying to do?
Boost their share price.
Mm-hmm.
Make them a little sexy to shareholders. Let the world know. No, I'm sure they're doing the work. I mean, I'm sure there's work being done on this by their best scientists, and they see the capacity to sell it to the government, because that's what Lockheed Martin does: sell stuff to the government. But when you're sending out announcements about stuff 10 years down the road, the reason is just, you know, it's ahead of a shareholders meeting. There's probably some public relations.
Let's announce something.
Angle, you know. Down the road.
You know, see if our share prices go up.
Yeah, when I get home, I'm going to go in my basement. I'm going to get the fusion reactor cooking. It'll be ready in 5 minutes. You got 5 minutes.
From finishing, putting the finishing touches on my restaurant drone delivery system for New York. 5 minutes. By 7 o'clock tonight.
In fact,
it's going to be up and running.
At the Martini Festival, you're going to deliver martinis by drones. Made by robots.
I'll be the one in it.
And we will have a masseuse. We'll lift our arms up with a drink in hand.
Just stand under this. Okay, anyway. So there's a wireless electricity. How about that? This is called Witricity. It's Toyota cars. We have a wireless internet, obviously. We have wireless phones. So they said, why are appliances still shackled to the wall? So they're making these power mat chargers for small gadgets like phones. So this company, Witricity, is in Watertown, Massachusetts. and it says they have a plug-in coil that creates a magnetic field, which in turn powers objects as far away as 8 feet. And they have even tested this on Toyota electric cars with charging mats, on Intel PCs with charging pads, and more. And they say within 10 years, they are going to be able to wire rooms so that all appliances, lamps, TVs, stereos, pull power from a central charging base. Now, what is the convenience of that? I mean, it's the same electricity rates, right?
Right. Yeah, it's just a way to get rid of the wires. I mean, the culture seems to want to dispose of any sort of wired connections. And although it's easy just to plug your refrigerator right into the wall socket behind it, and it works for devices that we carry around, this could be a inexpensive and convenient way. And ubiquitous way to charge them, which does solve a problem. I mean, there's a problem that needs to be solved. When you're in an airport, you got to find an outlet to charge your smartphone. You got to find an outlet for your iPad.
And it means the refrigerator, if the back is now free space and it can be out in the room, that refrigerator could be a standing column.
It could be part,
It could be a fireplace.
You can watch TV on one side and
okay,
get something from the other.
I just have to do this one more, Lori. Lori, do what one
I have
that
a quick
you have.
One. And it's available now, not 10 years from now? No.
My goodness.
So picture your toothbrush without a handle. You take the toothbrush part and you screw it onto the toothpaste, and the toothpaste itself, the toothpaste tube, now becomes your handle for the toothpaste. So all you do is give it a little gentle little squeeze, and the toothpaste comes up from underneath the bristles. And you can get this right now, and it's about $5.
I was going to say, if you order before midnight.
You do have to order through Quirky Squeezy. It's available through Quirky Squeezy.
I like that
idea. Wow, okay.
I like that.
All right.
It's a good idea.
So here, if you are a party people, I know you are, there is a cooler that will power your party. It is called the Coolest Cooler. And, you know, the coolers have been terrific up to now. And now this one wants to be the cooler of all time, and where you can do absolutely everything. So this is billing itself as the smartest all-purpose party starter. It will store food and drinks, of course, but it also has a blender built into it. It has
a radio.
A fireplace. It has
Wi-Fi.
It has an LED lid light so you can see what you're getting out of the cooler. It has a USB charger so nobody's phone dies, Rich. And it has a Bluetooth speaker.
There you go.
And it has very big wheels designed to navigate many terrains. You know those people go along the beach with those searching devices, finding, you know, Civil War buttons. This is going to be the new thing.
And the battery lasts for 10 minutes.
I know.
Yeah. So let me tell you, when this went on Kickstarter, they had 63,000 backers. 63,000 backers and raised $13 million on Kickstarter. People were so excited about an all-purpose cooler.
The cooler technology is essential to the operation.
Who would think this is the sleeper?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I may be old school as far as the cooler thing goes. You know, just put
some,
wants
your old
get the cold in, throw some ice
in. Here he goes, the old guy.
Yeah. But this does, you know, this raises the game. This elevates the whole cooler industry to the next level.
It really does.
Now, if we could just get that
if we could cook with it.
Yeah.
Be...
Well, I think that's the that's the killer app of the cooler world.
Mm.
It not only chills your food, but it cooks it.
Mm.
With Wi-Fi,
and
Bluetooth.
It wheels itself down there.
Yeah.
Toast your marshmallows.
Connects to the Internet of Things. And
there you go.
Prince
All
concert
right.
tickets.
All right. Thank you, Rich Hanley and Lori Mack. As always, this show's about the richness of life. You can find books, people, stuff, recipes, wine, cocktails, invitation to the cocktail event. Just go to ctmartini.org or The Faith Middleton Show. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.